Oh, that was a blessing. Leave it to the pastor's daughter to be up here dancing. That was pretty funny. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 27 this morning. Junior church, you are dismissed. Third grade on down. Wilton and Addie had the sad faces down pretty good too. Oh man, it's good stuff. 1 Samuel chapter 27 this morning. Just 12 verses, but I can't promise you we're going to be done, you know, too early. But 1 Samuel chapter 27 this morning, we're continuing again in our series on the life of David. And I want to do a quick review of the last two chapters, chapter 25 and chapter 26, just to give us a good background and get us up to speed, especially chapter 26 leads right into chapter 27. But back in chapter 25, we saw a man by the name of Nabal, who was a rich man. He was given a lot, and he had a bunch of sheep. He was a sheep herder, sheep farmer, and it was sheep shearing season. And he, during those times, they were known to be generous. And David asked Nabal if he would be willing to give him some meat, give him some food, and help him out. And his answer was not the best answer. His answer was no. It was a selfish answer. He wanted it for himself. He didn't want to share. He wanted to be generous. Nabal wasn't a very generous man with his riches. So David's reaction to Nabal was not a very good reaction. Remember what his reaction was? He flipped that switch very fast, and he became very angry really quickly. And he rounded up 400 of his men, and he decided he was going to go down and kill everybody, all the men and boys that were there. He was going to slaughter them. This wouldn't be much of a battle, 400 men, trained soldiers against these people. It was going to be a slaughter, and David was living fleshly, and he was not doing what was right, and his reaction was not good. But it shouldn't be a huge surprise, right? I mentioned it. It shouldn't be a huge surprise because David is a man just like we are, and he struggles, and he has ups and downs, and this is one of those times. And if we're honest with ourselves, we too will know that we can so easily flip that switch and become very upset. We can go from 0 to 100 just like that. None of us are not guilty of that. And David's reaction was wrong. It was not a good reaction. He let his anger get the best of him, and we too can have that same sort of reaction. And perhaps that is you today. Perhaps that was you this last week. Maybe you lost your temper. Maybe you got angry real fast, and maybe you blew a head gasket and just got really upset. But don't be too discouraged with yourself this morning. That happens. But I implore you to make it right, though, with those who you offended, those that you blew up at. Make sure you get that right. Later on in that chapter, we saw that Abigail came on the scene. Abigail was a wonderful woman, and she came on the scene, and she interceded on her husband's behalf, but not just her husband's behalf, but also the people that lived there, because they was going to come in and destroy everybody, and she interceded on David's behalf. And that's a wonderful picture of how Jesus Christ intercedes on our behalf, and he does that for us, and we got to be so thankful for that, because really Nabal didn't deserve any help. He was a selfish man. He was a foolish man. That's what his name meant. But yet, she interceded for him. And if you look at us, aren't we selfish? Aren't we foolish at times? And yet Christ intercedes on our behalf. We learned also in the end of that chapter that David learned a great lesson that God would fight for him. Okay, David's learning these lessons over and over again. Well, this is one of those times where he learns that God's going to fight for him, because he wanted to go and take care of Nabal himself. Well, God took care of Nabal for him. He had a massive heart attack, and he died a few days later. And last week in chapter 26, we saw a little deja vu taking place. We had the Ziphites. They come back on the scene, and the Ziphites start meddling again in the life of David and Saul, and they're really not minding their own business. And remember, Saul was not chasing David at this time. They had some peace. The last time they had saw each other, there was some peace that was made, and Saul had apologized, and now the Ziphites are back on the scene, and they're stirring up trouble, bringing this back up and telling Saul that where David is, and it is stirring up trouble. So like I said last week, We need to make sure that we stay in our own lane and we mind our own business, okay? So because of the Ziphites, now Saul is back on the warpath. Now Saul is back chasing after David. So David asked a couple of men, Ahimelech and Abishai, to go down to Saul's camp with him. Now, Ahimelech seems to be silent. Nothing is said of Ahimelech. But Abishai quickly volunteers. And we learned the lesson last week that we need to be believers and Christians that are quick to volunteer like an Abishai. Abishai was quick to jump right in and get busy. And we also saw how David and Abishai snuck into the camp. And in fact, we illustrated that here last week. We had some of the young men come up and lay on the ground and walk through and act like they were sneaking around. And I'm not sure about if you liked it, but I thought it was pretty fun. So that's what we did last week. We illustrated how they snuck into the camp. And we saw that God protected them, even though God protected them, even though they didn't even know that God was protecting them. Remember at the end of that chapter, we saw that God had put those men into a deep sleep. And the Hebrew word there was a sleep like Adam's sleep when he was put under to have a rib taken out. So it was a really deep sleep. They didn't know that, though. They were sneaking in there, and they were probably worried about being caught by those 3,000 men and what could happen to them. But here they are sneaking in, and we also saw that David showed a lot of humility towards Saul. Last week, we saw that. And that humility, I believe, is what God used to defuse the situation with Saul. He showed some humility to Saul. He said, thy servant, he was very humble with Saul. And Saul goes on to apologize, and then they part ways. Now this brings us to chapter 27 this morning. Remember when I told you at the beginning of this series, this David series, that there's going to be times throughout this series where there's going to be ups and downs, right, in the Christian life of David. There's going to be ups and downs. Well, this is one of those times where he is coming, he's going down. He is in a valley. He is discouraged. He is depressed. He is feeling sorry for himself. This is one of those times. And like I said multiple times throughout this series, we need to be careful, though, of getting too hard on David for this being down, because this is exactly what we experience many times. We have these mountaintop experiences where things are going great in our life, in our Christian life, and then we mess up and we go through the valley. That doesn't mean that we need to stay in the valley. Amen. Right? We need to continually try to get back out of that valley and walk back up to the mountaintops and experience those mountaintop experiences again. So don't get too discouraged at yourself for getting in those valley times. I do find it interesting that God doesn't attempt to cover up the sins of godly people in the Bible. Amen. What do you think about that? He's not attempting to cover up the sin of David here. It's right out here for us to see. Later on in David's life, we're going to see the sin with him and Bathsheba. It's right out for us to see. We think of Noah, a man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, what did he do after he got off of the ark? He got drunk. God didn't hide that. We saw that Gideon, who was a man of war, did some amazing things. Well, he made an idol. We see that Peter, as well, he was used of God in a great way in Acts chapter 2 and in the big starting of the church, but he denied Christ three times. And so we even see the Paul, who wrote, I believe 13 books of the Bible, was used of God by the Holy Spirit to write it, and yet Paul, his sins are not hidden as well. I mean, I think of the time when him and Barnabas were arguing together, and it resulted in them splitting and parting ways. And so God does not hide or cover up the sin of godly men. Amen. And it's important that we don't as well. This chapter, this morning, chapter 27, is going to show us a side of David that is sad. That is somewhat discouraging. That it's really an ungodly side of David here. Okay? And it's really not the first time we've seen it. It's not going to be the last time that we'll see it in his life. It's a sad season in his life, and it happened, and he stayed in that season too long. In fact, it said in our scripture that we read this morning, it lasted for 16 months. He stayed in this sad season of his life, this terrible season. 16 months. So before we go any further this morning, let's ask the Lord to bless our time together. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you for your word, Lord. We need it. We desperately have to read it and understand it and apply it to our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us this morning as we look at this passage and as we apply it to our lives. Lord, help us to open our hearts and be receptive to your word. Lord, I pray that we would be doers of the word and not just hearers. Lord, I pray as well that you would help me to say the things you'd want me to say. Help me not to say the things you wouldn't want me to say. I pray that you would empty me of myself and fill me with your spirit. I need you, Lord. I can't do this without you. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit now and just use me in a great way. And Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 27 says, "And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." Do you sense the discouragement in his voice here? Amen. Do you sense how he feels? It's despair, and he feels like he's going to perish. There's a big contrast between David of the past. Okay, turn with me for a second back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We've already covered this, but go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want us to see this contrast this morning from how David is speaking now and to where how he was speaking back then. 1 Samuel chapter 17, Goliath is challenging the nation of Israel. David is about to go and fight Goliath, but he has come before Saul, and Saul is questioning his if he could do this. And this is what David says to Saul. He says, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." Was there any hesitation in his voice there? Was there any question that the Lord was going to deliver him out of the hand of the lion, of the bear, and that God was going to deliver him from Goliath? No, he wasn't hesitating at all. He believed that God was going to protect him. He was completely trusting God here. Now go back with me and look at 27 and verse 1. And based upon what we just read, look at how he is now. "And David said in his heart," so he's talking to his heart, he's listening to his heart. He says, "I shall now perish one day." Okay? "I shall now perish one day at the hands of Saul." What happened to God delivering him? What happened to him understanding that God was going to protect him? And now all of a sudden, well, I'm going to perish at the hand of Saul. He's given up. He's discouraged. He's depressed. He is taking matters into his own hands here in this chapter. Where once he understood that the Lord was going to deliver him, now he is discouraged, and that discouragement is leading him to make choices that are going to lead to some terrible things. Perhaps now we can better understand, have a better understanding of David's discouragement and depression by reading what he wrote in the book of Psalms in a couple different places. In Psalms chapter 10 and verse 1, it says this, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord?" David's writing this. "Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?" Sounds a little depressing, right? Seems like he's not trusting God here. Chapter 13 of Psalm, verse 1, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" That's David speaking. He's a little discouraged. You sense that discouragement in him? Chapter 22 and verse 1, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" David is discouraged here. Can you hear the disparity in his voice in these verses? Amen. Can you feel the depression that he may have been going through? I can't move on without making some application right here in this verse. How about us this morning? Do we have times of discouragement in our lives? Do we have stages of depression in our lives? Do we feel like God has forgotten us sometimes in our lives? If we're honest with ourselves this morning, we would all have to say yes. We have times of discouragement. We feel that. But understand that these feelings are not unusual. These feelings of discouragement, these feelings of God has forsaken me, these feelings are not unusual. Understand that we cannot have mountains without valleys. Okay, we're going to have these times of discouragement in our lives. But know that we don't have to stay there.
Amen.
We shouldn't stay there.
Amen.
We need to walk out of those valleys. David here is feeling discouraged. He is feeling low. You can sense it in his voice. Just reading this passage, you can see it. And so what did he do? He turned to himself. That's what he did in this chapter, in this verse. He turned to himself. Look again at verse 1. And David said in his heart. He said in his heart, I shall not perish one day by the hand of Saul. What should he have done? He should have talked to the Lord. He should have went to the Lord with this problem. This foolish decision that he is making, the turning to himself and turning to his own heart, turned into some more foolish decisions later on in this chapter, because he did not pause and he did not take time to talk to God. He didn't take time to inquire of the Lord. At this point, he would rather trust the enemy for protection instead of trusting the Lord for it. And as a result, we read already, but we're going to cover some more. He begins scheming, he begins killing, he begins lying to survive. And folks, just know that there is no worse way to make a decision than enter into a conversation with yourself when you are discouraged and depressed. You know that? I mean, there's no worse way. There's no worse way to make a decision than to enter a conversation with yourself when you're discouraged and depressed. That's not a good thing to do. You're going to make bad choices and terrible decisions, which will lead to more bad choices and terrible decisions. This is exactly what David is doing here. Understand that it's not wise to make decisions based upon feelings instead of following God's leading. It is not wise to make decisions based upon emotions, okay, rather than going to the Lord in prayer. So what you are doing when you are conversating with yourself, when you're discouraged and you're depressed, you're basically reacting in a fleshly way. You're not reacting in the spirit. You're living in the flesh rather than in the spirit. And we know that's not a good place to be in, right? If you know the Word of God at all, you know that we need to be walking as believers in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Okay? Romans 7:18 says, "For I know," and Paul is speaking here, "for I know that in me, in my flesh, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing."
Amen.
Okay? We are to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, Galatians 5:15. But unfortunately, David had left this has left the mindset of seeking the Lord here. He is now seeking counsel with himself. And the same could be said of us today, right? We have all made unwise decisions in our lives that point us to heeding our own counsel rather than heeding the counsel of the Lord and heeding godly counsel. And folks, all I'm saying this morning is that when you get discouraged, it will happen. You'll get discouraged. When you get discouraged, when you get depressed, don't follow your heart. Don't have a conversation with yourself. Because the Bible says something about our heart. Our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Right? So we aren't to follow our heart. Just seek godly counsel before you make a big mistake. And if you're about to make a decision because you're depressed or because you're angry or you're hurt or you're frustrated or discouraged, we need to recognize that, and we need to go to the Lord, and we need to begin to pray, and we need to seek His face, and we need to ask Him for guidance and direction in our lives. Because if we make these decisions based upon how we're feeling, we are going to make the wrong decision.
Amen.
We need to seek the Lord for guidance and strength.
Amen.
So going on in verse 2 through 3, I see the people that were affected by the faithless decision of David. Look at this, the people that are affected by his faithless decision. Verse 20, or verse 2. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. So we got 600 men. Verse 3. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, and every man with his household. Okay, so we got the men and all their wives and their children. And David and his two wives, Ahinoam and Abigail. So there is a multitude of people here, right? There are lots of people that are being affected here. Because of David's foolish decision to trust his heart, follow his heart, listen to his own advice, Everyone under his leadership now is being affected as well. All 600 men and their families, with their wives and their children, as well as David's wives and perhaps his children, every one of them were being brought down by his decision. They were being brought down to Gath, to the Philistines, their enemy. They're living in Gath now. They're going to Gath, being brought down by David's decision. They were brought to a place of compromise and temptation, all because David listened to himself, listened to his heart, instead of listening to the Lord and inquiring of the Lord. Another quick application this morning is we need to understand that our decisions don't just affect ourselves. They have far-reaching consequences. Sometimes we don't quite grasp that, do we? We don't understand the far-reaching consequences of our decisions. When a husband and wife step out of God's will, it will affect their marriage. When one or both parents live a hypocritical life in front of their children, their children's lives will be touched in a negative way regarding that. We got people at school, at work, at church. They're all touched by the way we live our lives. Okay? We never know who is watching or the potential of who we are influencing or who we might be hindering negatively. When we walk away from the Lord, we don't know who we might be influencing. David here made a decision that was affecting so many people. It estimates to be at least a couple thousand people. You have 600 men, you have their wives, you have children, you have David and his wives and his children. There must have been at least a couple thousand people that were being affected by David's decision here. And they're being negatively affecting. Remember, influencing or affecting people goes both ways, right? We can influence in a positive way or we can influence in a negative way. Which way are you influencing? How are you influencing people that you work with? How are you influencing people that you rub shoulders with? You know, as your pastor, I'm realizing very quickly that decisions that I make don't just affect myself, right? They affect all of you. And that's why each and every day I wake up and I ask God for wisdom. I need it so desperately because the decisions that I make have far-reaching consequences, far-reaching effects upon this church. Okay. You guys, as you work, who are you affecting? Who are you influencing? I'm sure there's people that you come in contact with, that you rub shoulders with, that you have an influence with. Are you influencing them in a positive way, or are you influencing them negatively? They look at you and say, what a hypocritical Christian. They say they're Christian, but they don't live like they're a Christian. They don't act like they're a Christian. Or do they look at you and they say, oh man, this guy's a Christian and he lives it. I know I can go to him and I know that he is living the right way. And is that the type of influence that you have? At home, fathers and parents, you have a great responsibility to raise your children in a godly way, and you can influence them rightly or you can influence them wrongly. How are you influencing them? Make sure that you're influencing them in the right way, because the decisions that you make as parents will affect them. It will. I guarantee it. I mean, I'm thankful that I grew up in a Christian home, but my parents weren't perfect. They would tell you that. And I'm sure, I know some of the decisions that they made growing up affected me. And they were Christians, and you guys are Christians, and make sure that the decisions that you make have a positive influence on your children. Those of you who aren't parents, but maybe your children in here today and your teenagers, and you guys influence people as well. You guys have a sphere of influence. Those kids that you rub shoulders with, how are you influencing them in a positive way? David here was influencing thousands of people in a negative way. He was bringing all of them down to the Philistines. He was taking them all with him. So, verse 4, moving on, we see that Saul stopped pursuing David into enemy territory. real quickly, and it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. So first off, David accomplished his immediate goal of Saul not chasing him anymore, and that's what he was looking for. But now, because he went to the Philistines, he puts himself in a place that will leave him worse off than before. Okay, he is now actually submitting to a Philistine king rather than to an Israelite king. So verse 5 through 7, we see David receives the city of Ziklag. And David said unto Achish, "If I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For we have, for why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee?" Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertained to the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months, so 16 months. So we see David giving him getting access and living in Ziklag. He comes to Gath. He speaks to Achish. This isn't the first time they've met. Remember the first time they met? He was kind of by himself, and he went to Gath the first time, and he was carrying Goliath's sword, remember? And because he was carrying Goliath's sword, the people recognized him. They knew who he was, and so he was scared for his life. And so what did he do? Remember what he did? He acted like a crazy man. He was spitting all over his beard. He was scratching on the walls of the gates. He was just acting completely crazy. This isn't the first time. So now I'm wondering, okay, if you're Achish, the last time you saw David, he's acting like a crazy man. Now this next time you're seeing David, he's with a bunch of people, bunch of men, and he's asking for a place to abide in. And so I'm sure Achish is probably thinking, weren't you the crazy man? But regardless, this is where David comes, and he's asking for a place to dwell. I find David's wording here interesting. Because before, David never really cared about finding favor in the eyes of the Philistines. And now this is what he's doing. He says, if I have now found grace in thine eyes. He didn't care about that before. He also goes on to say, thy servant dwelleth in the royal city of thee. Why is he referring to himself as the king of Gath's servant? He's much different. This is a totally different David, because this is a David that is not walking in the flesh. He is not following God's will for his life. This is a totally different David. He is not right with God here. He is acting upon he is doing his own will here. So we see that King Achish gives David Ziklag to abide in. But David didn't just stay there for a little while. It says that he stayed there for 16 months. 16 months. And during those 16 months, it's some of the darkest times in David's life. I'm sure that when he went down to Gath, I'm sure he didn't expect to spend 16 months there. But that's what he did. And I'm sure that when we do something against God's will, we fall into some sort of sin, we don't expect to stay there that long. We expect to get right with God, but we wind up staying there a lot longer than we expected to. And in verse 8 and 9, we see David's new unauthorized occupation. He's not authorized by God here. In verse 8 and 9, and David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Jezerites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of the old inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. Okay? They were enemies of Israel, and David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. So we see here, this is not authorized by God, though. God is not telling David to go and go after these people. We see that David, what he's capable of when he's not in the will of God, when he's not operating under the direction of God, he is operating under the direction of his flesh. This results in him raiding and pillaging and invading, and it's not authorized by God. Rather, he is doing this on his own volition. He is doing this because he wants to do it. David was doing things that he would never have done before without God's permission. He invaded and pillaged cities for food and for clothing. He murdered whole villages, not just men, but women also. The whole fabric of David's life was altered by the decision that he made back in verse 1 to follow his heart, to trust his heart, to have to talk it out with himself. And it's sad that he's even come to this point, that this is what he's doing. You see where discouragement can lead you when you don't rest in God? When you try to operate under your own flesh and instead of walking in the Spirit, you see where this can lead you? You see where this is leading David, where this has led him? The same could be said of us, folks. David is doing things that I'm sure that he had never thought he would ever do or never ever been involved in without the blessing of God. David has lost his way. He's really nothing more than an armed robber at this point. He's a murderer. He was operating without the approval or guidance of God on his life, and he's now fighting wars for profit rather than for God's honor. This is a different David than chapter 17, who's fighting for the honor of God for the against Goliath. Different David. But doesn't this sound familiar, folks? Isn't that where we are at sometimes? We start down paths that lead us to something that we never would have imagined us doing. Right? Folks, we can't walk away from God and expect not to be affected. David is walking away from God. He's not following God's will for his life, and he is doing things that he never imagined he probably would have done. And that's exactly what we do sometimes, folks. Verse 10 and 12, Achish said, And Achish said, "Whither have ye made a road today? Or where have you gone today?" And David said, "Against the south of Judah, against the south of the Jeremelites, against the south of the Kenites." What else? He's lying. He's lying to Achish. And David said, "Neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines." So he saved nobody alive that could speak to what he had done. And in verse 12, "And Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people utterly to abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant forever." So David here is telling an outright lie to Achish. He didn't lie to Achish because he was ashamed of what he did. I believe he lied to Achish to gain favor with Achish. He knew that Achish would be happy to hear what had happened, that David had raided his own people. Even though David didn't raid his own people, he lied about raiding his own people so that he could gain favor with the king of Gath. In verse 11, it tells us that in order for his lie not to be exposed, that he had to do a terrible thing. He had to eliminate all those who could speak to what he had done. He killed all the men and the women, all those who could speak to what he had done, so that they couldn't expose his lie to the king. It's important to note that later in his life, we'll get there later in another message, but David, in another season of his life, with the sin of Bathsheba, he ends up killing her husband, Uriah. And he does that for what reason? He does that to cover his sin. That event between David and Bathsheba is a more famous event. Everyone knows about the sin of David and Bathsheba. But the root of that sin, to cover up that sin, was nourished all the way back here when he's trying to cover up his lies. And he's killing people to cover up his lies. David killed these men and these women in these raids to cover for himself, for the lies that he is saying, so that they will not be exposed. And we're going to see that later on in his life, because he didn't take care of that, he's going to do it again. Church, can I submit to you that the roots of sin must be dealt with? They have to be dealt with. Because if they're not dealt with, they will come back at greater strength. David is going to do some unimaginable things later on in his life with Bathsheba and with Uriah. And it all started because back here in chapter 27, he decides to lie and cover his lies. So, how about it this morning? Is there some sin in your life that you have never completely dealt with. You've never rooted it out. You've never gotten it taken care of. You've never gotten victory over it. Maybe it's bitterness. And bitterness, it seems to always rear up its ugly head time and time again. And maybe you've never gotten that right. Maybe it's pride. Maybe you constantly struggle with the sin of pride. And you've never gotten it right, so it keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. Maybe it's anger or lust. If you don't get that taken care of, some bad things will happen. Whatever it is today, you need to get to the root of it, and you need to take it out. You need to take care of that and get victory over that. And we can have the victory over it, but you must be willing to come to God and say, God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. And whoever you may have wronged, ask them for forgiveness and get things right. Get it taken care of this morning. Get it taken care of before it's too late. As I conclude this morning, I'm going to close with some questions and some pointed statements. In times of discouragement, what do you do? What do you do? What will you do? What should you do? Will you turn to yourself like David did here? Listen to your heart? Don't listen to your heart. I implore you to seek the face of God and follow His leading in your life. Seek godly counsel rather than seeking the counsel of yourself. Another question, who are we negatively affecting? Who is in the wake of our unauthorized decisions? Because we didn't go to God and ask for wisdom in this decision. So who's in the wake of our unauthorized decisions? Who's affected by the decisions that we make around us? And understand that those decisions that we make will have far-reaching consequences into the future. David lost his way. He lost his way. And isn't that where we are sometimes? We start down a path that leads us to doing unimaginable things. David is doing some unimaginable things, just like we can as well. This is what can happen to us when we are operating under the flesh and not walking in the Spirit. Is there a couple more things? Is there some sin in your life that you need to get taken care of this morning? Is there something that you have always struggled with? And you're thinking of it right now. It's like right there at the front of your mind, and you're thinking about it right now as I'm speaking. Get it taken care of. Get to the root of it. If you need to get some godly counsel about it, get some godly counsel about it. Make sure you get it taken care of. Do that today. And lastly, and I touched on this in the introduction, but if you're here this morning, you've never put your faith and trust in Christ because He's our interceder for us. If you've never done that, don't wait. Put your faith and trust in Christ and the finished work. The finished work. It's finished. That's what He said on the cross. It is finished. He lived 33 and a half years, never sinned. He became sin for us on that cross because we needed a debt that we had a debt that we could not pay. We couldn't pay it on our own, but Christ came and paid that debt for us. He paid it for us. And all we have to do is believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe in the death, the burial, the resurrection. 3 days later, He rose again, proving that He was God. You got to believe that. Understand you're a sinner and believe that you need saving. Believe that He died for you. If that's you this morning, do that today. Do that today. Don't wait. Our life is but a vapor, appeareth forth time and then vanisheth away. We don't know how long we will have. My daughter this week talked to me. We were sitting at the table and we were talking. And she said to me, Daddy, can people live to be 100? I said, oh, of course. Yeah, people live to be 100. And she's like, do people sometimes only live to be 12? Like, yeah, unfortunately. And I said, even babies pass away. And I said to her, what happens to those people? I can't remember how I worded it, but I said something about around this thought of how about you, Addie? If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? She's like, yep. I'm like, why do you know that? you're five. How, why do you know that? And she's like, because I asked Jesus to come into my heart and to save me. I believe. And I was like, good answer, Addie. Yeah. And she had no hesitation, no doubt. So if there's hesitation with you today, don't. There shouldn't be. There shouldn't be. There should be no hesitation with a believer that has trusted Christ fully. No hesitation. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. This morning, before I pray, I'm going to just ask a couple questions. First question is this. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, and you need to do that, and you just have some questions, you just want some prayer, I'm not going to call you out, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I just want to pray for you. If you would raise your hand and I would pray for you. If you never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, and you want me to pray for you, okay? If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Paul, something that you spoke about this morning really spoke to me, and I need to get some things right before the Lord today. I need to get some things right before other people, and that's me today. Would you pray for me that I would do that? You raise your hand and I could pray for you. Okay, you can put your hands down. This morning, before I pray, before Kevin comes to sing a song, and before I pray, we're gonna open up for an invitation. If you want to come up and you want to come before the altar here and pray and make a decision, I'm not saying that it's all some magical thing coming up to the altar, but you can make a decision in your seat. You can come to the altar, but make a decision. If you're here this morning and you raised your hand and you need to make a decision, make a decision. And if you want to come forward and come to the altar, do that this morning as we sing our song. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how you spoke to me this week. Lord, just how sin can lead to other sins and other sins, and next thing we know, we're doing unimaginable things. And Lord, each one of us are capable of that if we are walking in the flesh and not walking in the Spirit. If we are operating under our own will and not operating under your will. So Lord, I pray that you would just continue to speak to us throughout this day and throughout this week. Lord, help us to remember the word that you've given to us today. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Kevin?
Take your songbooks.